Child sexual abuse is a horrible thing. It should not exist, but it does. There's a local organization called Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, that creates awareness and addresses the issue. In a moment, we'll talk with their founder, Dr. Pamela Pine. Good to see you again.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thank you very much.
And it's an amazing organization you have. It's hard to believe that child sexual abuse still exists in our area and in our country. And it's also hard to measure accurately. Some estimates say it affects 1 out of 4 girls, 1 out of 6 boys, just in the United States. And your organization and you are, you know, working on this issue. You've called child sexual abuse a silent epidemic, and the name of your organization implies that people ignore it. Would that account for why those statistics are so, what I consider, surprisingly high?
Yeah, that's part of the reason. I mean, it's a very, very tough issue. We've been working on this for more than 10 years. It is beginning to change. We are seeing more awareness in the community. But the reality is that, as I've said before on the show, more than, well, it's about 90 to 94% of the people who are offending know and have access to that child on a regular basis. And literally and figuratively, the closer you get to home, the more difficult of an issue it is to deal with. And
so these statistics actually may be underreporting.
They very well may be underreporting. There are organizations looking at both the statistics on girls and boys, and there is some discrepancy. The other figure that's really important to state is that with 90 to 94% of those who are known and have access to the child, about 40% of that 90 to 94% are family members.
Wow.
So the incest in this country and around the world is truly staggering. And that's part of the reason why it's such a difficult issue to get to. You know, if you've got some Joe down in Florida coming up to New Jersey and stalking and kidnapping and molesting and killing kids, well, sure, everybody says throw them in prison, you know, death sentence, what have you. But when that scenario changes to dad, and dad is the rapist, dad is the molester, and dad is the pillar of the community, what do you do with that? It changes the scenario pretty fast.
And there's still a lot of stigma in general, but it must be even worse for the child, I would think, to even say something.
Well, the boundaries, I mean, imagine you're 7 years old and the person who's supposed to be protecting you is hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
The boundaries when that child starts to grow up and when that child becomes an adult can be very, very skewed. Who do you trust?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you let into your inner sanctum? Who are you drawn to? You know, we're very complex beings, and just like with domestic violence, women who are in domestic violence situations, who are being abused, often grew up in abusive households.
Mm-hmm.
So they're finding each other. And so we have generation after generation after generation, because parents as well don't have the kind of antenna that they need to protect their kids in the way they need to protect them.
Mm-hmm. Is that cycle of abuse thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a definite relationship. A cycle, you know, we can break the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We can break the cycle. We know how it can be done. We know the warning signs. Not that every sign and symptom that we know of child sexual abuse is going to mean child sexual abuse, but if they are there, we know that we need to pay attention to them and find out what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is a public health problem. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
It's a public health problem. Violence is a public health problem. This is violence. It's violence against children, which is another reason why it's so difficult to talk about. Children and sex in the same sentence shouldn't be going together.
Right, right.
But, you know, we can prevent it. We know that there are ways to teach community members and family members and guardians what to look for. We know that we have to keep an eye on kids. We know that children shouldn't be left alone in classrooms. We know that an adult who's paying an inordinate amount of attention to a kid, who's buying them jewelry and candy on a regular basis, something might not be right there.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn these things, and and we need to come to grips with them. And we as a society, just like we did with breast cancer, just like we did with HIV, just like we did with all of these major public health problems, we need to identify what the issues are. We need to have mass awareness. We need information out there. We have to stop burying our heads in the sand. This is a real issue, and we need to pay attention to it.
Yeah. What are some of the consequences for the child who is abused as
huge.
They grow?
Yeah, they can be huge. Children often are faced with depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, cruelty to animals, poor school performance. And as they get older, the association in the double digits, by the way, these are not weak associations, include promiscuity, prostitution, drug and alcohol abuse, homelessness, suicide, homicide, and chronic disease because of what the issue does to the developing brain, the trauma that it causes to the developing brain, as well as life choices that children and who are growing up make about their lives. The drug and alcohol, there is self-medication going on. They are numbing themselves out. There are many people who never tell about this. More than 42% of women and more than 32% of men never tell anybody in their lifetimes. That's from the best research that we have.
Right.
More than 32% of men and women incarcerated in maximum security prisons for murder were sexually abused as children. This is a major social and public health issue. Mm-hmm. It really is, and we need to pay attention to it.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Pamela Pine, and I'm Bernie Lucas. Thank you for listening.